السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، عباد الله، فإن يوم القيامة يوم طويل زمانه، شديد حره، كثيرة أهواله، لذلك فإن الناس بحاجة إلى ما يخفف عنهم عناء ذلك اليوم ويكفل لهم السلامة يومئذ، وما من شيء يؤمن لهم ذلك إلا رحمة أرحم الراحمين إلا رحمة أرحم الراحمين بإذنه سبحانه أن يشفع الشافعون. شفاعة الشافعين أعلاها رتبة وأكثرها عددا، هي لنبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وما من شيء يكفل للمرء شفاعة النبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا ما دل عليه حديث الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام في مثل قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: فيما رواه الطبراني عن أبي الدرداء رضي الله عنه وصححه الألباني في صحيح الجامع الصغير، قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: من صلى علي حين يصبح عشرا وحين يمسي عشرا أدركته شفاعتي يوم القيامة. من صلى علي حين يصبح عشرا وحين يمسي عشرا أدركته شفاعتي يوم القيامة. فيا من يطلب شفاعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، أين أنت من الصلاة والسلام عليه حين تصبح وحين تمسي؟ بل أين أنت من الصلاة والسلام عليه في يومك وليلتك؟ فإن صلاتك على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تزيدك إلا عزة، ولا تكسبك إلا رفعة، وتكفل لك الشفاعة. فهل ذلك من الصعوبة في شيء؟ فلماذا لا نواظب عليها؟ أي عباد الله، وإن مما يكفل شفاعته صلى الله عليه وسلم ما رواه مسلم في صحيحه عن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنهما أنه سمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: إذا سمعتم المؤذن فقولوا مثل ما يقول ثم صلوا علي، فإنه من صلى علي صلاة صلى الله علي عشرا ثم سلوا لي الوسيلة فإنها منزلة في الجنة لا تنبغي إلا لعبد من عباد الله، وأرجو أن أكون أنا هو. فمن سأل لي الوسيلة حلت له الشفاعة. اسمع يا رعاك الله، فمن سأل لي الوسيلة حلت له الشفاعة. هذه الوسيلة إنما تسأل بعد ترتيلك الأذان مع المؤذن، ثم إتيانك بالذكر الذي أمرك به نبيك وحبيبك صلى الله عليه وسلم. فلماذا تقبل دعوة العدو الألد لك الشيطان الرجيم بإشغالك بكلام مع رفقائك وقت رفع المؤذن الأذان؟ لما لا تردد مع المؤذن ثم تأتي بالصلاة والسلام على النبي ثم تسأل له الوسيلة؟ وقد وصف صلى الله عليه وسلم كيف يكون سؤال الوسيلة له صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما ورد عند البخاري في صحيحه من حديث جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من قال حين يسمع الندى: اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة، آت محمدا الوسيلة والفضيلة، وابعثه المقام المحمود الذي وعدته. يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم: من قال حين يسمع الندى: اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة، آت محمدا الوسيلة والفضيلة، وابعثه المقام المحمود الذي وعدته، حلت له شفاعتي يوم القيامة. انظر بما تحلل عليك شفاعته صلى الله عليه وسلم، تستوجب شفاعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وتضمنها وأنت لازلت على قيد الحياة إذا جئت بهذه الأذكار في هذه الأوقات. وإياك أن تزيد فيها، كما نحذرك عن أن تنقص منها، فإن الزيادة أخت النقصان. وما أكثر ما يزيد الناس على هدي سيد الناس محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام، زاعمين حبه معلنين الإخلاص وهم في ذلك مخالفين لهديه صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأيضا جاء عن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنهما أنه سمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: إذا سمعتم المؤذن فقولوا مثل ما يقول، قولوا مثل ما يقول، لا تزد يا عبد الله، فإن البعض إذا سمع المؤذن يقول بعض العبارات عبارات الأذان زاد فيها من وجهة نظره توقيرا وتعظيما للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، أو أن يزيد في مثل قول المؤذن أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله يزيد وحده لا شريك له. وهذه الزيادة وإن كانت قول حق إلا أنها في موضع لا ينبغي أن تقال فيه، لأن نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يعلمك أن تقولها في هذا الموضع، فإن قلتها فأنت زاعم أنك على علم أكثر من علمه وأنك على تقوى أكثر من تقواه. فاتق الله يا رعاك الله، واقصر نفسك على هدي رسولك صلى الله عليه وسلم. يقول: إذا سمعتم المؤذن يقول، إذا سمعتم المؤذن فقولوا مثل ما يقول، ثم صلوا علي، فإنه من صلى علي صلاة صلى الله عليه بها عشرة ثم سلوا لي الوسيلة فإنها منزلة في الجنة لا تنبغي إلا لعبد من عباد الله، وأرجو أن أكون هو، فمن سأل لي الوسيلة حلت له الشفاعة. أسمعت يا عبد الله ما يكفل لك شفاعة حبيبك ونبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ ليست الشفاعة تنال بقولك شفعك يا رسول الله، والله إن من قالها يوشك أن لا ينالها، لأنه مستدرك على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، ومن استدرك على النبي فقد أوقع نفسه في مهلكه، ومن احتذى حذوه واتبع هداه فقد نجا وسلم. وإن مما يكفل لك الشفاعة يا عبد الله، مما يكفل لك شفاعة النبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صاحب الشفاعات المتعددة يوم القيامة، وصاحب الشفاعة العظمى الذي ليس لها في ذلك الموقف إلا هو، وهي المقام المحمود الذي وعده الله إياه. ما يكفر لك شفاعته العيش في مدينته صلى الله عليه وسلم، العيش في مدينته صلى الله عليه وسلم في مهاجره حيث دفن، تلكم البلدة الطيبة التي أسماها هو طيبة وطابة، بعد أن كانت تسمى بيثرب من التثريب، فلما نزل بها النبي الأكرم صلى الله عليه وسلم غير اسمها إلى طيبة، وهي بحق طيبة طيبة. يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث عند مسلم عن سعد بن أبي وقاص رضي الله عنه قال أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إني أحرم ما بين لابتي المدينة، أي حرتيها الشرقية والغربية، واللابة حجارة بركانية سوداء، أن يقطع عظاها أي شجرها من غير ما حاجة، أو يقتل صيدها من الطيور والأنعام. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: المدينة خير لهم لو كانوا يعلمون، لا يدعها أحد رغبة عنها، لا يدعها أحد رغبة عنها إلا أبدل الله فيها من هو خيرا منه. من هو خير منه، ولا يثبت أحد على لأوائها وجهدها إلا كنت له شفيعا أو شهيدا يوم القيامة. وهذا العيش فيها مشروط بأن يرضى به المسلم وبما يلقاه فيه من جهد من شدة الحر والبرد ومن ربما غلاء الأسعار وغير ذلك من الجهد. أما إذا تأفف المسلم وأراد التحول عنها فإنه قد حكم على نفسه بصعوبة تحصيل الشفاعة. يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث الذي أخرجه أبو يعلى الموصلي في صحيحه: لا يصبر على لأوائها وجهدها إلا كنت له شفيعا أو شهيدا يوم القيامة. وعن يحنس مولى مصعب بن الزبير رضي الله عنه أنه كان جالسا عند عبد الله بن عمر في الفتنة، فأتته مولاته أي مولاة عبد الله تسلم عليه فقالت: إني أردت الخروج يا أبا عبد الرحمن، اشتد علينا الزمان، يعني اشتدت عليهم الفتن في المدينة إبان زمان الخليفة معاوية رضي الله عنه. فقال لها عبد الله: اقعدي نكاع. ولكاع كلمة يوصف بها من يتكلم بما لا يعرف. قال: فإني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: لا يصبر على لأوائها وشدتها أحد إلا كنت له شفيعا أو شفيعا يوم القيامة. أخرجه مسلم في صحيحه. وعن أبي سعيد مولى المهري أنه جاء أبا سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه ليالي الحرة فاستشاره في الجلاء من المدينة أي الخروج منها، وشكى إليه أسعارها أي غلاء الأسعار فيها وكثرة عياله، وأخبره أنه لا صبر له على جهد المدينة ولأوائها. فقال له: اسمع يا رعاك الله، اسمع. قال له: ويحك. قال له: ويحك وويحك، إنما تقال لمن أتى أمرا عظيما لزجره. يقول له: ويحك، لا آمرك بذلك، إني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: لا يصبر أحد على لأوائها فيموت إلا كنت له شفيعا أو شهيدا يوم القيامة إذا كان مسلما. رواه مسلم. واللأواء هي شدة الحر صيفا وشدة البرد شتاء. وقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يصبر على لأوائها أحد فيموت، فإنه لو مات خارج المدينة صابرا على حرها ولأوائها وإنما خرج لعال حاجة لعارض ثم يرجع، ولكن أدركته المنية دون المدينة فإنه يصل هذا الفضل العظيم وتناله الشفاعة، لأن العبرة بما استقر في قلبه. أما الذي خرج عنها ولو للحظة رغبة عنها كرها لجوها تذمرا من أسعارها فإن هذا قد يحرم نفسه الشفاعة من هذا الطريق. واعلموا عباد الله أنه ليس العبرة بأين يدفن وعصبته وأهله أن يدفنوه في مكة أو في المدينة، فإن مكة والمدينة لا تشفع لأحد إلا لمن دلت عليه النصوص في من يعيش في المدينة خاصة ويكون عيشه فيها على استقامة. أما إذا عاش في المدينة غاشا للمسلمين كاذبا في الحديث مفسدا في البلاد فإنه والله لا ينفع عيشه بالمدينة، فإنه صلى الله عليه وسلم قد حرم ما بين لابتيها، فلا يجتمع إفساد وشفاعة. فنسأل الله بمنه وكرمه أن يرزقنا وإياكم شفاعة سيد الخلق أجمعين نبينا محمد. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم، فاستغفروه من كل ذنب وخطيئة، إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على محمد رسول الله، سيد الأولين والآخرين، وإمام الأنبياء والمرسلين، والشافع المشفع يوم الدين. أما بعد، فيا عباد الله، إن شفاعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ليست تتأتى لأحد من الناس إلا أن يكون على إخلاص لله في عباداته، متبعا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في هديه، كما قال الله تعالى: قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم. وقد ثبت عند البخاري عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أنه قال: يا رسول الله، من أسعد الناس بشفاعتك يوم القيامة؟ اسمع يا رعاك الله، اسمع إلى هذا الحديث: الفيصل في من يستحق الشفاعة ومن لا يستحقها. قال: قلت يا رسول الله، من أسعد الناس بشفاعتك يوم القيامة؟ قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: لقد ظننت يا أبا هريرة أن لا يسألني عن هذا الحديث أحد أول منك، أي قبلك، لما رأيت من حرصك على الحديث. أسعد الناس بشفاعتي يوم القيامة من قال لا إله إلا الله خالصا من قلبه أو نفسه. فاحذر يا عبد الله أن تنقض الإخلاص بالرياء أو النفاق أو البدع المكفرة كعبادة أصحاب القبور، والتوجه إلى من ماتوا بالدعاء، والتوجه حتى إلى الأحياء بالدعاء، أو التوجه إلى حجر أو شجر أو غير ذلك. وإنما اجعل قلبك معلق بالله جل في علاه، وإياك والبدع، فإنها سبب لمنعك من الشفاعة، وهي سبب أيضا لحجب التوبة عنك. فاتقوا الله عباد الله، واسلكوا سبيل رسول الله، تسلموا وتنجوا وتصلوا إلى رضوان ربكم وجنته. وصلوا وسلموا على من أمرتم بالصلاة والسلام عليه. قال الله عز وجل: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. فاللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك وأنعم على نبينا محمد، على نبينا وحبيبنا وسيدنا وقدوتنا وقرة عيوننا محمد، وعلى آله الأطهار وصحابته الأخيار الذين حملوا الدين ونقلوه للعالمين، وخيرهم الخلفاء الأربعة الراشدون أبو بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي، وعن سائر أصحاب نبيك أجمعين، وعنا معهم بمنك وكرمك يا أكرم الأكرمين. اللهم أغثنا، اللهم أغثنا، اللهم أغثنا، اللهم غيثا مغيثا، سحا غدقا، طبقا مجللا. اللهم على رؤوس الجبال وبطون الأودية ومنابت الزرع، اللهم سقيا رحمة لا سقيا على عذاب ولا بلاء ولا هدم ولا غرق. اللهم أنقذ إخواننا في باكستان الذين حل بهم ما حل بسبب الفيضانات والسيول. اللهم كن معهم، اللهم اكش عاريهم واحمل حافيهم واطعم جائعهم. اللهم شاف مرضاهم وتقبل في الشهداء موتاهم. اللهم كن معهم وحنن عليهم قلوب العالمين. اللهم أعد إلينا أقصانا، اللهم أعد إلينا أقصانا، اللهم أعد إلينا أقصانا، اللهم خلصوا من أيدي اليهود الأنجاس، اللهم خلصوا من أيدي اليهود الأنجاس، اللهم إنهم لا يعجزونك، وارزقنا اللهم في حياتنا صلاة مقبولة عندك. اللهم لم شعث المسلمين ووحد كلمتهم على الحق يا رب العالمين. اللهم اهدي قلوبنا أجمعين واغفر لنا ولآبائنا والمسلمين. عباد الله، إن الله يأمرنا عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لكم تذكر، فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم واشكروه على began the khutbah by saying, O slaves of Allah, by the khutbah al-Hajj, and then I said, O slaves of Allah, verily the day of resurrection is a long day, and its heat is extreme, and there are a lot of crises on it that causes one fear. Therefore, people then are in need for what can minimize the difficulty of that day and guarantee safety for them on that day. And there is nothing which can guarantee this safety and security for them on that day other than the mercy of Allah, with which Allah Ta'ala accepts from and permits the intercessors to intercede and accept their intercession from them. These intercessors, the best and highest one of them is Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he has number of intercessions on that day more than any others. So what can guarantee this intercession of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for you, O slave of Allah? And it's only what been proved and authenticated in the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the like of what At-Tabarani reported on the authority of Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which is authenticated by Imam Albani in Sahih al-Jami', where he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man salla alayya hina yusbihu ashra wa hina yumsi ashra adrakatu shafa'ati yawm al-qiyamah. Whoever practiced the recitation of salah and salam, or sending peace and blessings to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for 10 times in the morning and 10 times in the evening, then my shafa'ah will approach him. The shafa'ah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will approach him. So all you who seek the intercession of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where are you from the salah and salam of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the morning and in the evening? However, during the whole day and night, but mainly, specifically, during the early morning and early evening. Is there any difficulty in doing that? So why don't we practice that regularly? And from what can guarantee the intercession of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for you is what Imam Muslim reported in his Sahih, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma, who said that he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمُ الْمُؤَذِّنَ فَقُولُوا مِثْلَ مَا يَقُولُ. Whenever you hear the muaddin calls the adhan, or calls adhan or iqam, then say exactly like what he is saying. ثم صلوا علي, and then seek the blessings and peace upon me. أبو الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. فإنه من صلى علي صلاة صلى الله عليه عشرة. As anybody practice صلاة السلام once for رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, Allah will do him 10 times صلاة السلام. Allah will do him 10 times of salah and salam, meaning that Allah Ta'ala will mention him to the angels, that he is a slave that he, Allah Ta'ala, likes and loves. Second, he is going to be given reward, high reward for that. Third, is that he is going to guarantee the intercession of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then he said, and then ask Allah, ثم سألوا لي الوسيلة, and then ask Allah the wasila for me. And he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then explained, what is the wasila? Wasila is a word that does not need for translation, because even the Arabs, Abu Bakr and Umar, did not know what is wasila. So that's why Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained to them, what is wasila? It is a word, it's an Arabic word, but in this position, it does not mean necessarily the normal Arabic meaning, the common Arabic meaning. But it means something different. That's why he, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, explained it. He said, فَإِنَّا مَنْزِلَةٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. It is a place in the Jannah. It is a level in the Jannah. لا تنبغي إلا لعبد من عباد الله. It is only for one single slave of the slaves of Allah. And in the other hadith, it was mentioned that it is the highest rank of the Jannah, the highest level of the Jannah, right beneath the throne of Allah Ta'ala. And that is for one person only. Not for one person, it means, yani, it does not mean that it's a narrow place so only one can get in. No. Yani, no neighborhood. It's like the mountain. Top of it has no neighborhood. So it is like that. So it's a big place. There is no narrow place in the Jannah. The lowest man of the Jannah will be given 10 times. Of what any king in this world today is given. 10 times. Not, yani, the king has a small kingdom, but the largest kingdom. The largest kingdom of this world. So, he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that the wasila is a place in the Jannah, a level in the Jannah that is only for one single slave of the slave of Allah. And I wish that I be he, that man. He, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, says that he wishes he be that man. And then he said, فَمَنْ سَأَلَ لِيَ الْوَسِيلَ حَلَّتْ لَهُ الشَّفَاعَةُ. Whoever asks Allah the wasila for me, my shafa'ah will be guaranteed for him. What is better than that? What is better than that? He, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, told us how to seek the wasila. How to seek the wasila for Rasulullah Sallam. As in the hadith reported by Bukhari on the authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, who said that verily the Prophet Sallam, he said that the Prophet Sallam said, من قال حين يسمع النداء, نداء للصلاة, يعني الأذان, the Adhan. Whoever says whenever he hears the Adhan, يعني after the Adhan, يعني repeat, يعني we have to gather the whole hadith. يعني in the earlier hadith, who said, as the Muaddin said, if you hear the Muaddin, say like what he said. نعم. And then you say, what do you say? اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة. Now even if you are not Arabs, you need to learn these words. You cannot say them in your language. You learn them. Easy, simple. اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة. والصلاة القائمة، آت محمدا الوسيلة والفضيلة، وابعثه المقام المحمود الذي وعدته. These four things only. These four things only. You say them after you repeat after the muadzin and finish. Then you say these four things. He said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, حلت له شفاعة يوم القيامة. My intercession is guaranteed for him in the day of resurrection. Guaranteed. So these are the four things. But be careful. Do not add any words to them. Some people add. And they think that this is good. No, this is bad. And this will prevent, or at least will distance you away from the shafa'ah. So be careful. Because whatever you add to the religion is first of all rejected. Second, will make you yani distance from the shafa'ah. Third, will prevent you from drinking from the lake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the day of resurrection. Fourth, if you commit any sin and you want to repent, repentance is not accepted from you until you repent first of all thing that you added. Because by adding anything to what Rasulullah came with, it means that you know more than him, you fear Allah more than him, and whoever believes that is in danger. He is in a real dangerous situation. Now, so we have to be careful. And from what? And now we have counted how many things that can guarantee the shafa'ah? Two. We said, if you say salah salam 10 times in the morning, 10 times in the evening, every day, constantly, don't get busy with anything, don't get involved with anything. Ya ikhwan, look to the sahaba. Fatima radiallahu anha one day came to Rasulullah. This is out of the topic. I just got it. Am I married? Fatima one day came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, O Father, if you got any slaves, give me one to help me. Look to my shoulder how it is already marked with carrying the water buckets from the well to the house. And look to how my hand by grinding the seeds. He then sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, go back home. When she went back home, he came. Her and her husband Ali. She and her husband Ali took position to sleep. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and sat between their legs. They wanted to sit down. He said, as you are, as you are. And he sat down there. He said to them, I will teach you something. That is the only reason for visiting them that night. I will teach you something. If you say at night, Allah Ta'ala will make it sufficient for you than to have servants. And then he said to them, when you come to sleep, you say Subhanallah 33 times. Alhamdulillah 33 times. Allahu Akbar 34 times. Don't say La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. No. That is after salah. This, at when you go to sleep, you don't say La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah as a completion of this. Naam? So we don't mix. Because people today, they prefer to take one hadith, half hadith from here, and mix it with half hadith from here. They are so etiquette to the mixed juice, mixed food, mixed speech, mixed everything. Even prayers. Look today, they mix. They go to Hajj, they mix Tawaf al-Qudum, Ifada, and Wada all together in one time at the end of the Hajj. They like mix today. They like to mix things, join them together. And that's why today they mix in the supplications. And like this. This way is only when you go to sleep. Subhanallah 33 times. Alhamdulillah 33 times. Allahu Akbar 34 times. No wife, nothing. Wife is when you go to sleep, raise your hand, recite Surah Al-Ikhlas, قل أعوذ برب الفلق، قل أعوذ برب الناس. And you why? Spit and why? Three times. Look what people do today after Salah. Every time after Salah, they recite Surah Al-Ikhlas, قل أعوذ برب الفلق، قل أعوذ برب الناس, and then they start wiping. What is that? That is wrong, Ikhwan. It's a way of extreme. It's a way of extremism, Ikhwan. This is one way of ghulu. Where are you going? Do you want to go before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Where are you going? You have to be careful. You are by the edge of a hell now. So don't add to what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. As don't subtract from it. Both are bad. Just stick to what he taught you. That's it. Stick to what he teaches you. You will, inshallah, guarantee all goodness in the day of resurrection and even here in this life. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, na'am, we said that there are eight, we already mentioned two ways how to guarantee the shafa'ah. Don't say, okay, I will take one. And khalas, I go. This is not correct. You get one, two, three, as much as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches you, take them. Because you don't know which one would be accepted, first. Second, these, when they come together, they give you what is promised for and more. More reward. These are worships. And you are worshipping the generous, the most generous, the most kind, Allah Ta'ala. So, the third way of how to guarantee the shafa'ah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as what he told us, is to live in Medina. Is to live in Medina, which they call it Medina Munawwara, is to live there. And to live with pleasure, to live and you are happy that you are there. Not because, yani, this is your destiny, what can I do? He wants to live in a very nice climate and he wants a beach and la. If you live there willingly, intentionally, Allah Ta'ala will provide you the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naam. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as in the hadith reported by Imam Muslim on the authority of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, inni uharrimu ma bayna labatay al-Madinah. I verily forbid what is between the two laba of Medina. Look at, this is one word you guys in English got it from Arabic. It is, what do you call this, the volcano lava? And it is laba in Arabic. And don't tell me that Arabic got it from you, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it. And at that time there was no English. Naam? So this, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, إِنِّي أُحَرِّمُ مَا بَيْنَ لَابَتَيِّ الْمَدِينَةِ. And lava in Arabic is exactly the same meaning of lava in English. Naam. And if you look to Medina, if you go from the east side, east to the Baqiyah, and go beyond towards the airport, you will see all the area covered with lava. When you go all black, you see it all black. Rocks, big rocks. When you go to the south, sorry, the west, you will see all of it covered with lava. That is the boundary of Medina. فَإِنِّي أُحَرِّمُ مَا بَيْنَ لَابَتَيَا. What is forbidden there in that area? أَن يُقْطَعَ عَضَاهَا. Not to cut a tree without a reason. Without a valid reason. Maybe you have a reason. I don't like this tree. No, you don't cut it. You leave it. You like it, you don't like it, you leave it. But if there is a valid reason, if it's obstructing the way of people, if you want to build a building or something like that, that's a different thing. أَوْ يُقْتَلْ صَيْدُهَا. And you don't hunt in Medina. In the boundaries of Medina. That Rasulullah ﷺ set up. Not all Medina. Because today Medina is bigger than what Rasulullah boundaries around. And then he said, Al-Madinatu khayrun lahum law kanu ya'lamun. Now, he saying, Al-Madina is better for them if they know. Now, when we say better, most of you are English teachers. And you know that better is what type of word? It's a comparison word. When you say something is better, it must be better or better than something else. Okay? So he did not tell us better than what? It means better than the whole ear. It is better than the whole ear. And so there's no place that you can go and live without feeling that you are a stranger except Medina. If you come from wherever side of the world and live in Medina, you don't feel that you are a stranger. You feel that you are one of Medina. Immediately, once you stay there, you feel that you are from them. This is how Allah Ta'ala blessed this town with, because this town was the only town accepted Rasulullah and hosted him when everyone caused them harm and they chased them out of their towns. Medina opened their gates, their houses, their chests for Rasulullah. That's why Allah Ta'ala blessed Medina. Allah Ta'ala blessed Medina with many blessings. And not only during the time of Rasulullah, but until the day of resurrection. Until the day of resurrection. Wallahi uqsimu billah. They say on the newspaper, last Monday, the temperature was in Medina was 60 degrees centigrade. And I believe it because in my car, the thermometer showed me something above 50. I forgot, it's 55, 50. And it is not that accurate. Uqsimu billah, from my house till the haram, I did not put on the AC, I did not put down the windows. It is not my habit. Even in the UK, I ask the brothers to put the AC or put the windows down. I cannot stay without, cold air. But the whole last week, I just drive from my house to the haram. Not intentionally, but I do not feel that I need it. I just forget that, I forget to put the AC or put down the windows. And this means that I could not feel it. It is above 50. See how? It is how you want to live in Medina. Those who go there with, bad hearts, they're looking for dunya, they're whatsoever, they cannot stay in Medina. They cannot. They will find it difficult, terrible, this, as you're going to see now. So, Isa said, وَالْمَدِينَةُ خَيْرٌ لَهُمْ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. And then he said, لَا يَدَعُهَا أَحَدٌ رَغْبَةً عَنْهَا إِلَّا أَبْدَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهَا مَنْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِنْ. Isa is saying, there is no one will leave Medina and leave to another town, because he doesn't like Medina, or he doesn't like the weather of Medina. Maybe he says, oh, I love Medina this. Okay, go. I saw many people here who their girls are buried in Medina. They live in Medina. They have big properties in Medina. But he prefers to live in Jeddah. So I say, Akhi, you are approaching now 60s. Why you are still in Jeddah? You're from Medina, and you always say, oh, Medina, I remember Medina, I love Medina. Say, Akhi, what do you still wait for? Allah gave you millions and millions. Halas, leave Jeddah and go to Medina. Live in Medina, rest of your life. Oh, but the kids, but this, but that, Akhi, these are not real excuses. You are losing one way of guaranteeing the shafa'ah of Rasulullah. Why do you do that? Do your best to go and live there. You don't know when you die. You don't know when you die. So let's get ready for that day. So he, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, said, there is no one leave Medina because of hating it or hating anything in it except that يعني anything which is not, يعني عمر رضي الله عنه said to the Sahaba that if you don't straight up on the right path, I'll leave Medina for you. It means if you continue committing sins in Medina, I'll leave Medina because Allah will get very angry and will destroy Medina on you because you did not respect Medina. So it means that when you leave Medina, hating the weather, hating the stay, hating the less entertainment, because people today are so etiquette to the entertainment. They love entertainment. And they sometimes excuse for you saying, oh, the kids want entertainment. The best, I don't call it entertainment, but the best enjoyment is sitting in the Masjid al-Nabawi. The best enjoyment. You go there and enjoy it. Feel it. And then Isa Salam said, وَلَا يَثْبُتُ أَحَدٌ عَلَى لَأْوَائِهَا وَجَهْدِهَا إِلَّا كُنْتُ لَهُ شَفِيعًا أَوْ شَهِيدًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He says, and there is no one, be patient with the terrible weather of Medina, whether in the summer as too hot or in the winter. Medina in the winter, it's difficult, therefore, really difficult. It's not like even the North Pole where it goes maybe 60, 80 below zero. But the coldness in Medina is terrible. It gets into the bones. Why is that? Rasulullah ﷺ told you that this is for guaranteeing the Shafa'ah. For guaranteeing the Shafa'ah. And it does not mean do not resist, do not take precautions. No, you take all precautions. You put warmers, wear, take clothes, as you like. But live in Medina. Live in Medina. And don't hate Medina for whatsoever reason. Now, so as we said that this living in Medina can only guarantee Shafa'ah for you when you are patient with Medina. When you are patient and you remain there loving Medina. As in the other hadith of Abu Ya'la al-Mawsil in al-Sahih, he said the same thing, same wording of Imam Muslim. But Imam Muslim reported another hadith on the authority of slave of Mus'ab ibn Zubayr, who said, I was sitting to Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Khattab at the time of the fitna, meaning the fitna of at the time of the Khalifa Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, when the Hajjaj and this, you know, the fitna. At that time, his Abdullah's she slave, Abdullah's female slave, came and gave salam to Abdullah, and she said, I want to leave Medina. Oh, father of Abdul Rahman. This is his kunya. I want to leave Medina. The time becoming so terrible for us here because of the fitna. She doesn't want to leave Medina for any, but because of the fitna. Look to what Abdullah ibn Umar said to her. He said to her, Uq'udi luka'a. Luka'a. This word, he says, sit down, luka'a. Luka'a is a word usually said to someone who speaks nonsense. What are you saying? This is a nonsense speech. We are in this whole life just to get ready for the Akhirah. And you cannot get ready if you just want to rest and sleep. You cannot. You have to work. So one type, one field of the fields that leads you to the Jannah is to stay in Medina and accept what Allah Ta'ala determined for you. Then he said, I verily hear Rasulullah ﷺ saying, no one be patient with Medina for the difficulties of its weather and whatsoever, except that I be an intercessor for him and I be a witness for him in the day of resurrection. Also, Imam Muslim reported on the authority of Abu Sa'id, the slave of Al-Mahri, who came to Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. He came to Abu Sa'id al-Khudri and he took advice from him. He consulted something with him. He said, what do you think
if we leave Medina, because the prices are high in Medina, and I have too many children, so I cannot live. What do you think if I go and live another place? And then he said to him, I cannot be patient with this. I cannot resist the difficulties in Medina. He, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, and by the way, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri was one of the youngest Sahaba. At the time of Rasulullah, he was very young. Look to what he said to him. Wayhak. Wayhak. Wayhak in Arabic is a word said to be said to someone who or wills to commit or to do something very, very dangerous. He said to him, Wayhak. لا أمرك بذلك. I don't command you with that. I don't agree with that. Rarely I hear Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, no one would be patient with the difficulties of Medina and dies upon that. Dies does not necessarily mean in Medina. But if he lives in Medina and he feels quite patient with Medina, whether in the summer and in the winter, the expenses or the expensive prices or whatsoever, high prices, yani all the difficulties surrounding living in Medina, if he cope with that and be patient with that, even if he dies out of Medina, maybe he goes to Jeddah or Mecca for Umrah and die there, or he goes to London or New York for whatsoever reason, but his heart is there in Medina. This type of person will get the reward of it, will be promised, because he moved and lived in Medina. Now, but that person who is living in Medina and always thinking of, oh, I'll go out, this one would not get this reward. Because it depends on the intention. It depends on what is in the heart. Now, he said, إِلَّا كُنْتُ لَهُ شَفِيعًا أَوْ شَهِيدًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. I would be an intercessor, or if he dies, Abu Islam. If he dies, Abu Islam. And there is another condition we mentioned it. The Prophet ﷺ said, I forbid what is in between the two lovers of Medina. So you don't make anything wrong there. Not accidentally, but intentionally. If you go there and plan to do something wrong, to steal, to lie, to cheat, to deceive, to look to haram, to listen to haram, to do anything haram, then you have lost this kind of guarantee. You have lost. Now, and also those Khawarij who intend to do destruction in Medina, they go and bomb. They say they plan to bomb in Medina for supporting Islam. That is wondering. And if someone come and cut your chest and destroy your heart, and he say, I want to save you from cancer. MashaAllah, what kind of fiqh is that? I'm afraid that cancer, yani, I'm afraid that you get affected with cancer. So he cuts your chest and damages your heart. Say, oh, I just did that because I fear that he gets suffered of cancer. MashaAllah. So these Khawarij doing the same thing. And we have to be careful when we are in Medina and Mecca as well. And everywhere we are, we have to be careful not to commit the sin, not to intend the sin. But it gets worse when it gets in Medina and Mecca and Hajj and Ramadan. You know, it gets worse. Now, that was the first part of the khutbah. Second part of the khutbah, we began by praising Allah Ta'ala and sending peace and blessings upon Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi. And then I said, verily the intercession of Rasulullah ﷺ is not guaranteed for any one of people except with sincerity in his worships for Allah alone. He don't show off. If you show off, there is no one can guarantee any intercession. There is no intercession for you. No intercession for you. No doubt. Showing off, hypocrisy, calling other than Allah, calling unto other than Allah. You ask the shafa'ah from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is a preventer of shafa'ah. If you go and say, Ya Rasulullah, intercede for me, now Bob, you have built a dam between you and Shafa'ah, khalas. Finish. Allah doesn't like that. Allah doesn't like that. If you want to gain the intercession, just do like what Rasulullah told you. Obey Rasulullah. Don't do what your brain tells you, what some people tells you, even if they are called imams or shuyukh. Just stick to what Rasulullah told you. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يَحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Say, oh Muhammad, if you love me, if you love Allah, if you really love Allah, then follow me. Follow me, who? Follow me. Which me? Who's me? Who's the one saying me? That is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Follow him. Don't tell me I'm Hanafi. If you are Hanafi, if you are Shafi'i, if you are Hanbali, if you are Maliki, know that I am Muhammadi. I follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And let's see who would be successful on the day of resurrection. Who follow Muhammad or who follow this against Muhammad. I don't say that these ulama are against Muhammad. But these ulama are human, can be found wrong, can be found mistaken. So don't follow them blindly. But if they adhere what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then take. If they say something that you don't know it is against, take, no problem. But when you come to know that the hadith of Rasulullah saying yes and they say no and you take their no, or the opposite, the hadith say no and they say yes and you take their yes, then you are worshipping them. You are not following them, you are worshipping them. And that is wrong, ya ikhwan. So we have to be careful with that. And in Sahih al-Bukhari, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abu Hurairah asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Ya Rasulullah, who is the one who is going to be most pleased with your intercession on the day of resurrection? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Hurairah, oh, I never thought that anyone can ask this question before you, because of what I saw of your eagerness of hadith. And then he said, the one who is most happy with my intercession on the day of resurrection is the one who says, La ilaha illallah khalisan min qalbi aw min nafsi. So whoever says, La ilaha illallah, purely from his heart. Now it does not mean just say, it's not worthy. You say and you stick to it. Khalisan, when he says khalisan, it means you don't mix it with anything else. You don't mix it with anything else. You don't say La ilaha illallah and then you say Ya Wali, Ya Wali. That is totally wrong. Totally. When you say Ya Wali, Ya Wali, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Ali, Ya Fatima, Ya Hussein, then you have damaged Ya La ilaha illallah. You have destroyed it now. You destroyed your witnessing that there is no one worthy of worship but Allah. So you have to stick to it. Everything you need, you ask Allah. Everything you fear, you ask Allah to protect you from. Everything you wish, you hope, you like, you ask Allah to guarantee for you or bring you. Provide you that. And by that, you guarantee the shafa'ah of Rasulullah. And today we have offered to you three ways of shafa'ah of how to gain the shafa'ah of Rasulullah. The first, as we said, saying salah and salam 10 times in the morning, 10 times in the evening, constantly. The second is repeating after the muaddin, and after that you say the dhikr, which Rasulullah mentioned, and the third is to live in Medina. But with all these three things, and with any other, shafa'ah cannot be given to you if you don't worship Allah sincerely, following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your worship. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, wa sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Naam. In regard to the first question, what is the how, or how is the way to say the salam salam in the morning and in the evening? It is yani, like the salam salam in another time. You say Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad 10 times. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala 10 times. Easy. And then the second question is after iqama, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said whoever hears the muadzin, and the muadzin, you hear him twice. You hear him calling the adhan and you hear him calling the iqama. Okay? If you hear him calling the iqama, you repeat after him. If the imam does not start the salah immediately after the iqama, then you still have some time to say the dua. If he yani began the salah right after the iqama, he did not leave any time, then and your intention is to say it, then you would be given the reward for it. Because it is based on your intention. So you would be given the reward for it. But the saying that there should be nothing said after the iqama, there is no dalil for that. There is no dalil to forbid saying anything after the muadzin calls the iqama. Naam? But to say the dhikr that Rasulullah said, and he told you, he said it. If you hear the muadzin, say as he says. And then say this dua. And by that you guarantee the shafa'ah. Now. لا, it is not the إقامة is called. إذا أقيمت الصلاة فلا صلاة إلا المكتوبة. When the law is established. Now people understand أقيمت as إقامة الصلاة when the مؤذن calls the إقامة. لا, it is when the إقامة is established, when the صلاة is established, when the إقامة, when the صلاة is begun. When the imam begins the صلاة, you should not continue doing your نوافل. Yeah, as you know now, what makes you not allowed to speak? The salah, not the iqama. What makes you not allowed to turn your back to the Kaaba? Yani now you are sitting here. If the muadzin calls the iqama and you want to call someone, you can't turn and back the Kaaba and call someone. But when you are in the salah, you cannot do that. So it is the salah, it is not the iqama. But because the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا أُقِيمَتْ, people thought that when the muaddin called the iqama. No, it is not when the muaddin called the iqama. It is with the thing that forbids speech, movement, like that. That is by takbirat al-ihram. When the imam says, Allahu Akbar, or he began to say Allahu Akbar, you should stop. And that's why the ulama say, if the muaddin calls the iqama while you are doing the Tahiyyatul Masjid or the Turaq'ah before Salah, the Sunnah before, it depends. If you just started, then definitely you are not going to finish before the Imam says Allahu Akbar. But if you are at the middle or at the end of it, then you do it quick. So you do it while the Muaddin is calling the Iqamah, before the Imam starts. Nah. Allah. Nah.
Advice do you give us to say to those people when we tell them we're going to Medina, they say, I'll send my salat, I'll give my salat because you are going to Medina. What should we respond to them?
Allah, I always face this and I have my answer always. I say to them, I usually say to them, okay, I will inshallah, no problem. But let me ask one question. If there is someone going to the king and you have some need for the king, from the king, but this man is not guaranteed to be allowed in, and you have someone who is guaranteed, like for example his guardian or his son or his soever, who definitely going to get there and see him. Which one you prefer to give your need to, to, so that they convey to the king? Which one? Which is definitely going and getting in. And he will say, I'm going to Medina, right? I can pass your salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, okay? But can I guarantee that I reach Medina? I might die on the way. Can I guarantee that I don't forget you? I might forget. Right? Now Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that Allah Ta'ala has assigned angels, their duty is only touring around the earth, not one angel. Millions of angels. Millions, billions of angels. Billions. And there is no one assigned for Masjid al-Bara waiting. Okay. Abdul-Hattah said Salah Nabi. Tawfiq said Salah. No. Each one for each time. Even if you, Tawfiq, keep saying now, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allah, each time, there is one angel carries it and goes. And the other thing is, I'm a man. I'm human. I can do mistakes. I can do sin. Right? And maybe this one, this messenger that you're conveying your salam with to Rasulullah sallam, maybe he become a kafir on the way. You cannot guarantee. Maybe he disbelieves. Maybe he rejects. Maybe commit apostasy. Huh? But the angel, there is a guarantee that he's never going to be that. Now, so Allah Ta'ala assigned this angel for you. Pure, no kufr, no sin. Sure, no delay, fast, quick. So why you want to? And look, and I always tell them, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah assigned angels to bring me the salam and salam of anybody from all around the world. And once Allah gives him, and the angel brings him the salam and salam, Allah gives him his soul back to respond. So, I always say to them, Akhi, you better choose the best messenger. The best messenger. That is, yani, wisely and logically. But religiously, yani, based on the Sharia, there is no proof that any of the Sahaba used to tell the other, okay, give salam to Rasulullah. No one. Not single case. Not even a single case. That I know, at least my knowledge, Allah alam. And I never heard any of the ulama say that there was a case that one small young Sahabi, even a boy Sahabi, who said, oh father, give salam to Rasulullah. They all understand that. You just say it. You just say it. Why? Because it is not that you want Rasulullah to hear it. No, it is that you want Allah to hear it, to know it. That's it. And Allah can hear whatsoever. Even what you don't speak, just you think, Allah knows it. So I always respond to them like that. Akhi, you better, first of all, choose the best messenger, which is the angel, as Rasulullah told you. The second, follow the sunnah, follow the Sahaba. Sahaba never ever one of them used to, Ali was in the Iraq and people used to come from Iraq, he never said to any one of them, please convey the salam to Rasulullah. Yeah? Allahu A'lam. Another question? Right. We ask a question. Today Friday, do you want the meal? طيب جزاكم الله خير وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبي. Oh, there is a question from the net. Go ahead. Agony, go ahead. Okay, here is the question. It says here, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. When do you pray Tahiyyatul Masjid? If the Jum'ah, if the Jama'ah for the Fard salah has begun, or the nafl. For example, taraweeh. Jazakumullah khair. Now taraweeh cannot be an example because you cannot pray taraweeh if the jama'ah are praying fard. You cannot pray taraweeh if the jama'ah because taraweeh is always after the fard. But tahiyyatul masjid, for example, or the sunnah before the rawatib, you can, if you come and the jama'ah already established, the fard jama'ah already started, you cannot pray, then you join the jama'ah and after salah, you can make them. Even the two rak'ah of fajr. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day in his mosque, after he finished the prayer, he saw a man stood and started praying. He prayed another two rak'ah. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa came to him and grabbed him from his clothes and said to him, is fajr four rak'ah? He said, no Rasulullah, but I missed the two rak'ah before fajr. He then agreed. So when you miss the rawatib, you can pray them after the salah. And by the way, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar and hadith of Aisha in the agreed upon, that whoever keep praying, in hadith of Ibn Umar 12 rak'at, in hadith of Aisha 10 rak'at a day, that is the rawatib. Rawatib means before and after prayers. Allah will build him a house in the Jannah. Right, what are these? According to Abdullah ibn Umar and Aisha, 2 rak'ah before Fajr. In Hadith Aisha, 2 rak'ah before Duhur. And in Hadith ibn Umar, 4 rak'ah before Duhur. 2 rak'ah after Duhur. 2 rak'ah after Maghrib and 2 rak'ah after Isha. The total, as per Hadith Aisha, 10. As per Hadith ibn Umar, 12. Okay? Now, some brothers, when they come to the masjid and the Duhur prayer, for example, already established, they join the jama'ah and after salah they pray only two rak'ah and they leave. And that is wrong. They should pray what they missed of the sunnah before. But it does not necessarily become a habit. Every day they come by the iqamah and pray the whole before and after salah. But if you are doing that constantly, but one day it happened that you became late for whatsoever reason, then you can make it after salah because the Rasulullah sallam did that. Rasulullah sallam did that. Nah, wallah a'lam. Nah. Okay, the sister is asking, what is the difference between the word tasbih and dhikr? Dhikr is a general word. It includes tasbih, istighfar, tahmid, tahleel. Tasbih is to say subhanallah. Tahmid is to say alhamdulillah. Takbir to say Allahu Akbar. Tahleel to say la ilaha illallah. Right? And dhikr, include them all and more. Dhikr is a big word that includes prayer itself, Dhuhr, Asr, and the physical prayers, and also the prayers which means the du'a, okay, and the remembrance. Whatsoever worship you do is considered to be dhikr, is from the dhikr, because dhikr is from the word remembering. So when you worship, by whatsoever mean of worship, it means that you are keeping Allah and remembrance. You are remembering Allah. You did not forget Allah. You did not forget the rights of Allah upon you. So that's the meaning of dhikr. So it is wider than tasbih. Tasbih is to say subhanallah. والله تعالى أعلم. Another question. طيب, go ahead. Is it allowed to make qada during the forbidden times to pray? For example, after Fajr. Yes, I just said, or Asr, I just said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw one man praying after Fajr, and then he asked him, what is that? He said, these are the two rak'ah before Fajr, I missed them. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agreed on that. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day in the battle of Al-Khandaq, they were busy digging the trench in the Khandaq. So he did not pray the Sunnah of Dhuhr until Asr falls. So he prayed them after Asr. He prayed them after Asr. If that is even before sunrise, even before the sunrise, right after Fajr. But that is if, yani accidentally, not a habit. You set up your alarm by the time of Iqama every time. Or by a time that does not give you any ability to pray the nafl. If you intentionally do that, then you have no right to pray after Fajr. Because you lost it yourself. Na'am, wallah, na'am. First of all, the salah, the option of salah is not forbidden right after Asr. It is forbidden when the sun becomes reddish color. And that is nearly about maybe half an hour or 45 minutes before Maghrib, like that. Not right after Asr when the sun is still yellow. Right? And that is the time where Ummul Mu'mineen said that Rasulullah Sallam used to pray Asr and come back and pray to rak'ah in my house. Naam? But these are not considered from the rawatib. Also before Asr, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Rahimallahu mri'an salla qabla al-Asr arba'an. He said, may Allah's mercy be upon a person who prays for rak'ah before Asr. And he used to pray them in his house and then go out. But he did not consider them from the rawatib. He did not consider them from the rawatib. So, the time which is forbidden to do any optional prayers in is when the sun gets reddish color. Not when it is still, they call it in Arabic, still alive. Because they consider when it is getting reddish color, it's dying. So they say when it is still alive, yellow, fresh, that is still the time where it is permitted to pray even optional. Allah Allah. طيب صلى الله وسلم وبارك أنا لك مسلم فهم منه طيب حسن فضل it says here حسن بن محمد says if we have a prayer room in our house is it permissible to pray the five daily prayers in jama'ah there instead of going to the nearby mosque that are upon bid'ah and have herbal recitations. Herbal recitation, that is a different thing. Now, if they recite Surah Al-Fatiha, well, that's enough. But bid'ah, it depends. If their bid'ah is kufr, the bid'ah is not all the same level. Some bid'ah are kufr bid'ah, like calling unto other than Allah, calling other than Allah, Ya Wali, Ya Muhammad, Ya Rasulullah, Ya, like that. Or, yani, worshipping the graves. Or, you know, these are kufr bid'ah. Or they believe that, yani, Allah has no attributes, or the attributes does not mean like this. Or, if they believe these things, which are bid'ah, which is of kufr, then you don't pray behind them. If the imam who's leading the prayer is having these beliefs. But if they have bid'ah, yani which are not kufr. They are still bid'ah, but they are not kufr. Then you pray them, and your prayer is for you, and their bid'ah upon them. As Rasulullah sallam said about some imams, meaning rulers, who will come at the end of the life, and they will commit something like that. But to keep praying in the house all the 5-time prayers, that is not from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Ibn Mas'ud said. You better go to the masjid, even a far masjid, not necessarily to be the nearby. One of the Sahaba used to live in where Masjid al-Qiblatain today. That is called Bani Salima. It was separated from Medina. And he used to go walking for every fard, walking to the Masjid al-Nabawi. Now, see how far Masjid al-Qiblatain from Masjid al-Nabawi. And he used to go every time. It is so far that the Sahaba advised him, they came to him, they said, if you buy a camel or a donkey so you can just have transport. He said, if I would do that, I would have transferred my house to the nearest point of Masjid of Rasulullah. But I hear the Rasulullah saying, as far you walk to the masjid, as more reward you get. Every step you will have one hasana, and remove one sayyah, and raise one daraja, one step, one rank in the Jannah. So for that purpose, he decided to come walking every fard. And he saw some families from Bani Salima, the tribe of this man, started, and they decided to move, to come close to the Masjid of Rasulullah. He said, Bani Salima, diyarukum tuktab atharukum. Remain where you live, and your steps would be written for you. So, it's not necessarily the nearest masjid, nearby. If the nearby has some kind of bid'ah, even if it is bid'ah, but you know that there's a far masjid, which is Abu Sunnah, you go to them. You go to them. Na'am, wallahu a'lam, wa sallallahu sallam wa barak, على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.